Yo, what's up? This is Was It In Good Taste presents The Tasting Table. My name is James.
And I'm Chandler.
And this week, you know what we're going to do. We're going to talk baijiu. Please make sure that you don't forget to like, comment.
And subscribe.
He got caught off. He got caught off guard today. I like that. That's what we're here to do. We're here to throw you off guard while we teach you and learn together about something interesting, something new, something a little different.
Ooh. I love learning.
So my birthday just passed, and I was this liquor here, baijiu, was gifted to me by my sister. Okay, and so I thought it'd be super fun if we got together. We got to learn about it. We got to taste a little bit of it, right? And maybe if you give us a little bit of your feedback on what you think, we can make some interesting cocktails with it in the future.
Ooh,
you know.
I've already got something cooking up in this brain.
Oh God. He has something. He has something boiling up there. He got something going up there. So what is baijiu? Did you do any research? Did you look up?
I know baijiu. Some of the basics.
What do you know?
But you were going to do me.
I'm curious. Hit me with a quick summary.
Impede on your lesson plan. But okay. So what I know about baijiu is that it's pronounced baijiu.
Yeah, that's very good.
And it's made from sorghum, which is a grain, and it's from China.
So actually, it's so interesting because baijiu, I believe, it means like white liquors, or like pretty much baijiu isn't really a drink so much as it is a category. And under which there's different... your mind is about to get blown, okay? So baijiu is a grain alcohol, right, from China, but it's specifically a type that's made using traditional Chinese methods, right? So there's four different types, and under that, there's, like, different genres.
Wait, within those types?
Yes. So for example, right?
Okay.
I'm going to get into really quickly what the types are.
Yeah.
Then we're going to take a sip. Then we're going to talk about how it's made, okay?
Well, so I ain't got no type. Bad baijiu is the only thing that I like.
That's the... You pour.
All right, talk.
So the four different types of baijiu, and this is so interesting when you find something completely new that we've never heard of before, right? Because this is a grain liquor. You think grain liquor, you think vodka. Well, you don't know this, but vodka has nothing on this. Do you know that China produces 10 billion liters of this a year? That is more than vodka, rum, whiskey, tequila together. Baijiu is the world's number one spirit. And Ming River, Yes. As a matter of fact, the history of baijiu goes so far back as 5000 BC.
Whoa.
Okay. There's some interest. So actually, this company, this distillery, Ming River, is also the oldest distillery in China.
How old are they?
I don't know. Listen, I went to their website, okay? You know.
But they're the oldest.
They're the oldest. And they're one of the two or three companies that's really moving on taking what is traditionally a Chinese celebration drink and moving it into the mainstream and Western audiences, which is why I have it, which is why you do see it in some of the more popular, you know, like hotels and on some of their menus. It's because it's getting pushed. You know, there's something behind it. And there's four different types. One is rice aroma. Right. So they're all it's kind of like maple, you know, where it's like dark. Now it's like dark amber, light amber, strong flavor like that. Mm-hmm. So it's rice aroma, which is like a light flavor.
Are they all made from the same things?
So baijiu, because it's just like it can be made from any grain, but traditionally sorghum.
Okay.
But it has to be done the traditional way, which I'm going to get to. Okay.
Okay. So is it kind of like vodka in the sense that it can be made from corn, it can be made from wheat, it can be made from potatoes, it can be made from just, because like vodka doesn't have to be grain, it just has to be some sort of...
Well, if you let me finish, then you would find out.
Okay.
Because the different flavors correspond to different regions in China that have their own and they use different things.
Whoa.
So you have rice aroma, which is a floral light flavor. You have sauce aroma. That one, it just like has a sharp taste.
Kind of
like
sauce?
Yeah, kind of like soy sauce.
Well, because that too is fermented.
It is. It is.
You could distill soy sauce.
Light aroma. Light aroma is sweet and with a floral taste. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what we have here from, I always mess it up, Sichuan, this region, they produce strong aroma, which is spicy and fruity.
Huh.
Now that we've had that and we've let this ice melt.
Okay, it says that this this one has been around for 24 generations. So,
I thought that was melted ice.
Oh, it wasn't all melted ice. It was also a very heavy pour.
Yeah, so what were you saying? I'm sorry.
24 generations.
How long is that?
This distillery.
How long is that?
Well, okay, let's think.
That's a long time.
What do you think the average lifespan is?
Oh, yeah. That's difficult, right? Because it changed. Okay, it's been hundreds of years. Okay, you're right, it changes. Okay. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, now, since I took a huge chug of it.
Whoa.
We have to take, I'm going to teach you. Since I mentioned that it's a celebration drink, come here. I'll put that down. That's a non-traditional way. I just fucked up, okay? Here we go.
Oh. All
right, so this is how it works, okay? Traditionally, this is what happens. Yeah. I'm learning a lot of things, of course. All the things that I've learned mostly came from actually the Ming River YouTube channel, as well as some of my own reading. I went to the library, actually. I was curious, because I couldn't find a lot about it.
Well, and your travels to the Ming River.
No.
Your excursions.
So I was very curious.
Your Parts Unknown episode, where you went to China distillery tours.
I wish.
That would be sick. One day. We're getting there. So wait, what's the way to...
Cheers, me.
Okay.
I'm trying to get whoever gets lowest, because I respect you more. This guy doesn't even respect me. Baijiu is drank in celebrations. What you normally will find is people traditionally drink baijiu at room temperature, just like this. People are never just pouring baijiu for themselves. They're pouring it for their friends and their family. And traditionally, you sip it, you shoot it. That's it. And then...
You like it, you love it.
Also...
What do you mean you sip it,
also,
you shoot it?
Sorry, I mean you just shoot it. And also, you say a beautiful phrase.
Say the words, beautiful phrase?
No, you say genbai. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sorry, but genbai means like empty the cup. So it's like genbai.
So now we got to choose.
And then we shoot it. Genbai.
Genbai. Woo-wee.
With a strong, fruity aroma and a pretty interesting, heavy body, it was obvious to me that when I read up on this that this was strong aroma.
Pretty strong aroma.
Well, remember I mentioned when we first tasted this, I said, oh, there's something in the end. End up with some kind of funk.
Yeah.
It's because the traditional methods that are used to make baijiu are so interesting and are as follows. They make them in mud pits.
That's funky.
They're like clay mud pits, right? So it's not mud.
It's ceramic?
Like, no. It's like clay mud bricks.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like a clay pit made out of mud.
Okay.
They look nice. They're not dirty or nothing, you know? And then, because people are bigoted and racist.
Is that where it ferments or is that where it distills?
So they take the sorghum, traditionally, they steam it.
They steam the grain?
Yes, they steam the grain.
They steam it.
They steam it.
So they hydrate it.
Yeah, then they put it into this thing. Then they put this thing called chew on it. Chew is effectively a starter. It's a organically harvested like starter. That's a specific type of fermentating starter instead of yeast.
How's it spelled?
Q-U, but it's pronounced chew.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I looked that up. It's Q-U and it's pronounced chew.
They're not just spit and dip on it?
They're not. And then, this is the most beautiful, this is like so amazing. So they take that, they put it over it, right? Then effectively it ferments. And then they scoop it out and use it. And as they're doing that, they add new sorghum to it.
So effectively, it's
like a sourdough starter.
And they're feeding it.
And they're feeding it as it, you know. And of course, because there are different types, maybe they take that, you know, because they, I saw the video, they clean them sometimes, like the things, they'll clean them out. But depending on how strong you want it, how long you want it to be fermented. And then, of course, distillation, you know, copper pots, stored, ambient temperature, clay pots, everything, it's done at ambient temperature, which means that it's hot. The people are working really hard. You know, they're like really pushing themselves to like do a lot of this by hand. They're stomping on the sorghum with the tootsies. You know what I mean? I think that's probably after the steaming.
Gum on my tits.
Or maybe after they steam it, they dry it. Because that's how they do coffee, and they'll like lay it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, because then you see, I saw them like stepping on it.
Well, because it would make sense if the steaming is part of the process that would like malt it the way, like whiskey malts grains.
Well, all I know is they said they put it in the steaming things. They said that they steam it. They said it was just like one of the things that makes it very important is that they steam it. And then,
could you kind of describe sorghum?
Yeah. So sorghum. Is a grass, and it looks kind of grassy and sometimes can grow like a flower, right? But it has like these little seeds in it that are kind of like round and hard, and they kind of look like nuts.
Are they more like a rice or like a wheat?
Kind of like a rice.
Or I guess because, quinoa?
Because actually one of the things that's interesting is that this has, it's obviously not the same, but it has a lot in common in tradition, in the vibe, and kind of even some of its history as like sake and soju. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? So like, yes, effectively it's like a, it's just raw. It's like rice. It's round and like kind of hard.
Well, because when you steam that, it doesn't necessarily do anything but just hydrate. Like, I don't know if it gets it hot enough to sweeten it in a way that, but
it is sweet. And so, you know,
or like the way we do malted rye.
And then, of course, they're aged in clay jars. And then they can be aged. That's the thing about baijiu. It's because we have one strong baijiu by one of the oldest companies, right? This is Strong Aroma. They have some that are dark in color because they can age them. Really, baijiu is just kind of the overarching, you know what I mean? Because it means white spirits. It's just the overarching kind of category.
Hmm.
And here's the thing. I want to be fair and say that a lot of what I was reading about baijiu was by this company, right? Maybe and then I did some other ancillary research and I saw they didn't mention in Ming River's videos that they did the steaming, but everybody else said that when they do that, that one of the preparation steps is that they steam the sorghum, you know? So I'm assuming that that's probably one of the few steps that is required to make it like, you know, then you make the distilled, you know, baijiu, and then you can, maybe you can add stuff to it and do things to it that could make it drip into one of those other categories.
So okay, now I got one more follow up.
Oh yeah, I got a bunch of facts and.
So, potentially, is the steaming part? Do they then not throw it into a vat?
So the vat is.
Do they make a brew in the similar way, or is it just like because the grain will absorb the moisture of the steaming, they don't necessarily have to put it into
From what I'm understanding, if there's a baijiu master out there, but from what I saw, because they were showing them make it, right, is they were taking what looked like actually like hydrated sorghum. It didn't look hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're putting it into vats. And depending on how old you want it to be and et cetera, could depend on if there's already some of the mash there, you know, to contribute to a stronger flavor.
Or, I guess that was my question, was like how liquidy is the mash?
You know what's interesting? I didn't see the mash. And they did a lot of videos. They did do a lot of videos. And I read a bunch of papers and stuff, and I read some books a little bit, and I didn't see no pictures of how, you know, I just saw that the vats were these beautiful. You know, it's interesting because I said like clay mud, but that's how they described it. It's like modern. You know what I mean? It's like a nice looking factory kind of floor thing. but with like traditional looking holes in the ground that are like really, but they're like nice.
Yeah.
And they're like labeled and like they're packed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, kind of how you see like mezcal distilleries or like the real artisanal mezcal ones where it's like there's a pit where they're actually roasting the piñas underground and then like they dig them back up, put them through the grinder wheel, and then you see how it's like then fermented in clay pots. I feel like there's some crossover there.
Yeah, and it's really hard, I think, to, because one of the things about Baijiu that's so interesting is that its positioning as a celebration drink, of course, is a problem for it, right? Because you want to sell your product, not just around the new year.
Well, I guess traditionally.
Yeah, you know, you need to make some money.
It's almost like, If your goal in making the thing is to make money off of it, but like if it's a thing that's like thousands of years old, its initial purpose wasn't to sell, but it wasn't to sell bottles. The initial purpose of that, Baijiu.
But that's not true, because I mean, I might not know about Baijiu, but I know about sake, and I know that like people who are making sake in the sake farms during the like Edo era, you know what I'm saying, which is like a late era, but I know that they were like, they were chilling, they were like doing little deliveries and they were making money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think that the move into industrialization was like really what shook out. So like, you know, maybe Ming River is the oldest that survived. I don't know, maybe they bought another company.
Maybe they're the Johnny Walker of Baijiu.
Yeah, we
and they're just making like this, and then they got their like their blue label that's just a bunch of other bought out.
I mean, let's be real. You know, I noticed, and this is why I had to do a lot of research, and which is why I thought this was extra interesting, because I knew you would find interesting the different varieties.
Yeah,
I knew you'd find interesting the traditional methods that they use to make the Baijiu, right? But one of the things that's very interesting is that there was a video that was like it was like a mini documentary, and in it they went to a Baijiu distillery, and all the people there are working really hard. It's like beautiful, it's clean. I say this because I know people out there, they assume that because it's in China, they don't know that in China they have institutions that often make the ones that we have here look not as nice. Is it not as nice? It doesn't matter. It's about how it looks. And they're showing these beautiful, beautiful distilleries, these big floors, these big, beautiful vats. But even they interview one of the Baijiu distillers, and they're talking about how the distillery process is the most important process, right? Because it's like everything. They take the Baijiu, they taste it. You know, Baijiu has to have a nice, what they said, like a very, well, they said smooth. That's what they said. They said smooth. You know, but I'm assuming they mean like an inoffensive kind of like,
yeah,
or when it's going down, which it does, and then depending on the type can contribute to, should it be super fruity? This is, now that I said it, right? You know, it's floral and spicy.
So
it makes sense.
There was rice.
Rice smell, which is floral and sweet.
When you say smell, like rice aroma, no. Is it made from rice? Or is it all made from?
I do know they come from different regions specifically. I have them written down, but I didn't think, because obviously the majority of Baijiu comes from what they call the liquor triangle.
Okay.
Which is something that I'd heard of before that I wasn't really aware of, which is three provinces or regions inside of China, where it's like, you know, it's like three cities. Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of industrialization and a lot of distilleries in that area. You know, like one time on the internet, I read it, okay? I was excited when I saw it. And effectively, you know, but the styles are really from different regions because, you know, maybe look out for next week's episode of Was That In Good Taste, but China is complicated and there's really a bunch of different countries. So Baijiu kind of covers the entire history of China. And so, you know, rice aroma,
I mean,
doesn't have to be rice, but it's going to be a more sweet, more floral. And, you know, so maybe they ferment it less. Maybe they use sorghum because that's traditional.
Or it could be in a similar way that we have like bourbon, rye, scotch, Irish whiskey, like all of the different regions. They're all whiskey.
They have 20.
20 regions?
No, they have 20 categories. It's like four styles and 20 recognized categorizations of Baijiu.
So within those four styles, I'm guessing it's not evenly divided.
I mean, I don't know, but I feel like it's probably, because this is what's in America right now, it's probably strong aroma is the type that you would see, mainly because I haven't even had the other, but I think sauce aroma with the very savory taste that I've heard, I heard it's sharp and savory, like soy sauce, which is why it's called sauce aroma. I think that would be, I mean, I saw a Barstool Sports, YouTube from like 4 years ago, where they were like retching, talking about how this is literally the worst thing they've ever tasted, okay? Obviously, Barstool Sports is not, okay, is not the bar.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. America made Malort. So, like, I don't care how great a bourbon is, we cannot talk shit about any other country's spirits. But I want to rewind real quick.
Did I not pour it in mine? Oh, I poured it in here.
Oh,
I poured it in there.
You didn't. I haven't drank from this.
Are you kidding me? Okay, anyway. Do you know why I'm pouring so much? This is important.
You're going through it?
It's because this is a thing about it. It's supposed to be, you're effectively getting forced. You're being, it's almost,
I'm being coerced into, you're finishing being coerced this bottle.
Into, because it's like, because we're trying to show friendship. This is the beauty of liquors and things from, you look at you behind the mic.
Wait, but no, I clicked yours lower.
I had to sneak it.
God,
I had you to got sneak it. This is one of the things, and this is not a joke, and I love a lot of these cultures, people live close to each other, is they have a lot of things that feel very communal. It's fun to force your friends to drink a little bit.
It's chewy. It's a chewy taste.
Here's a question. Are you retching from it? Are you doing the, oh, this is the worst thing in the world?
It's not the worst thing in the world.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. It's nuanced. It's a lot of a flavor I don't really like. And I think that flavor is like that kind of musky passion fruit.
You're thinking wrong. You've had two beers. Only two. A little earlier in the day. You're ready to drink. You go out to a restaurant. Tempura. Maybe some fried chicken. Maybe a sandwich spot. And you're hanging out with your friends, what a bottle of this, you're not thinking about it.
No, I know it gets to a point where I'm throwing them back. Like, that's not the problem. I'll have a couple bottles of like a rice beer or like a light beer.
I think the whole problem is probably that, like, since this is like a celebratory drink, it has that kind of body about it. Yeah. It's like this is not really what you would think, but they keep saying refreshing. And so when I heard that, they said one of the big aspects of this is it has to be refreshing. So I stopped and I thought to myself, what is refreshing inside of a liquor, right? It is refreshing. You take it and you throw it back. You take a sip or whatever.
Yeah. And then what?
It doesn't really burn. It's just flour. It's sugar, and it's aroma. This is inoffensive.
No, it's got so many more things going on.
Yeah, because I think that people here are so acclimated to, like, throwing back vodka, which is, like, a flavorless, just kind of bitter grain alcohol, whereas I'm not trying to say this is the world's, like, this versus a nice bottle of whiskey, no. But this against a bottle of vodka, if you told me I can go into a restaurant and get a bottle of gross vodka that's like cheap and annoying as a bottle of Tito's, or something with history that has interesting flavor, and also the more I drink it, the more refreshing it feels. Because also I think we're not conditioned
for some of these flavors. I'm sweating underneath my eyelids. That's
because it's hot in here.
Okay. I'm having a similar reaction as what I had to Slivovitz, but in a different way.
Think about this. The amazing people that I saw making...
That was
making,
a plum brandy from another episode, if you guys want to check that out.
The amazing men who I saw making this were working in the heat. The people who were drinking it live in the heat. You know?
I've also just ever tried it straight.
That's what I'm saying. Try
it at least cut with...
Oh, like, yeah, try it with the water. I think it tastes fine. It tastes even better when you do it like that.
Mm. oh, that's delicious. Oh, that's actually, that's fantastic.
Actually, one of the videos said,
it just needs a little water and ice to open up.
One of the videos said that.
You've just been giving me this, like, 45 proof.
Wait, one of the videos said.
You're just shoving this alcohol down. It's like if you grabbed fucking Blue Coat and was like, here, just drink this straight.
One of the videos said that what usually happens is that everybody's, like, drinking it and trying to be respectful. And by the time it falls back,
nobody,
you know, you start throwing some ice in it, you know. But you don't drink it alone. And I don't know. I think there's something like fun and really awesome about something that has so much heritage. Yeah. Because there is more heritage in this than in any bottle of bourbon. Okay. And that's just because this goes back thousands of years. It leaves me with this like weird whimsical feeling. I feel like really passionate that this is something that's so interesting. It's unique. But only to me, because 1.4 billion people live in China. And this is the number one spirit there, more than any of the world. The reason why it's not India is a lot of people there might not drink because of they might be Muslim.
Oh.
So yeah. That's why you would be like, what? But there's a lot, there's more Muslims than there are. It's because, but India has more population. It's because China doesn't have weed.
That too.
They just drink. And this is made from something that, by the way, sorghum is from Africa.
Wait, what?
Sorghum is an African grain. Wow, look at that. You know it's unfortunate for you?
Wait, so it's just, wait.
There's a lot to say about Africa. There's a lot to say about Africa and China.
And what, we're out of time? Is that what you're gonna tell me?
What do you think about this? I need you to hit us with a 15-second. Maybe with 15 seconds.
I think this would be a fantastic cocktail if you blended it with some other complementary fruits. I think there's a little bit of a muskiness that could be either enhanced by using a little bit of like a deep sweetness kind of fruit, where or like a deep red, like a plum kind of thing, or what was in my head previously, just like before you even made me try this, was using it with a ginger and lychee blend. I think it would be interesting with that. The lychee would enhance the sweetener, or at least kind of bolster that like fruity sweetness. And then the ginger would kind of cut the funk at the end with a little bit of spice. So it wouldn't just kind of feel musty. Instead, it would feel like earthy. But I think it's an interesting spirit. I think it's so dynamic. I can't wait to see what the rice aroma and what, wait, what were the...
Rice aroma, light aroma, sauce aroma,
The sauce aroma sounds so fascinating. I'm gonna be honest,
some of the savory cocktails. Listen, if you want to find out about those, you know what you can do?
What can they do?
Leave us a like, comment, and subscribe. One of the best things that I think about this in my 15 seconds is that you get to share it with friends. For me, that makes everything taste better. From the lens of something that you drink when you go out with your friends. If you went out with me and they said $4 shots.
And they had a little bit of Bijou.
Am I wrong? A little $4 Bijou?
Oh, I'd fuck that up.
That's the point.
We would burn the house down.
Goodbye. Empty the glass. Remember, drinking is, I don't know. We need to come up with a thing. Drinking is you know what? Oh, you know what?
What if we do? Empty the glass, blow it out your ass.
I actually really like some. I like empty the glass. Genba, you know what? That China's influenced me. Sorry, U.S. government. You know what I'd say? Empty the glass. Empty the glass. This has been The Tasting Table. Peace.